Chapter 5, Man, You're an Angel. As I left the hospital parking lot that Wednesday night, I knew it was the Lord who had told me to share those $10 bills with Richard and his family. For what reason, at that moment, I did not know. And as I drove on State Highway 277 back to Blythewood, in the distance I saw a woman standing beside her car in the grassed median. As I passed, I quickly glanced and saw what appeared to be a flat tire. But stopping to help would mean being late for choir practice. So with that in mind, I reluctantly passed by the next opportunity to turn around and simply reassured myself that someone else would stop and help her. Though this was not the first time I had not stopped and helped someone, it reminded me of the blessing I received from a person whom I had stopped and helped. It was the weekend of Cynthia's parents' 50th wedding anniversary, and I was heading back to Blythewood from Lexington early that warm Sunday morning. As I was about to exit off of I-20 onto Highway 277, I said a simple prayer, "Lord, please show me someone to help today." As I went around the off-ramp, I looked to my left and saw a man walking with a small plastic gas can. He was wearing an old t-shirt with a large Gamecock emblem on the front and cut-off blue jeans. I stopped on the shoulder of the exit ramp and rolled down my window, but waited for him to get closer before speaking. Seeing I had stopped and appeared willing to help, he smiled and simply shouted, "Hey!" Being a Clemson alumnus and somewhat of a jokester, I shouted back to him, "I was going to help you, but when I saw what kind of shirt you were wearing, now I'm not." Not breaking stride, he glanced down at what was on the front of his shirt and then gave me a look back like, "What?" By this time, he had gotten closer to where I was parked, so I showed him a smile and said, "Come on, get in." He said he had walked about 2 miles from his truck and no one else had stopped to offer help. He said he really appreciated me stopping. He told me the gas gauge in his truck was broken, and he thought he had enough to make it to the bank, where he was going to get some money to buy more gas for his truck. As we talked, I could tell he was telling the truth, because he was hot and sweaty from the long walk. I asked him if he had any money for the gas, to which he replied he didn't, but if I would loan him a few dollars, he would pay me back once he went to the bank. As we rode to the gas station, I asked him, "Hey, are you a Christian?" You can talk to someone about anything when he's riding in the back seat of your air-conditioned truck and needs gas. His answer was a shocking one. "I used to be." I immediately turned and asked him what he meant by that statement. He said he was once saved, but all his friends ever told him was since he sinned every day, he needed to be saved every day. And if he didn't, he was not a Christian anymore, and would not go to heaven if he died at that moment. Looking in the rearview mirror, I told him if he believed Jesus was the Son of God, died on the cross for his sins, and on the third day arose from the dead, and he invited Jesus into his heart, then he was a Christian, and his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. He stared at me in the mirror and softly said, "No one has ever told me that. I am so glad you stopped to help me." I could see the tears as they began to stream down his cheeks, right there in the back seat of my truck, as I slowly moved the mirror so he couldn't see mine. Gaining back my composure, I told him we all sin every day and need the forgiveness of Jesus every day, and when we ask for it, he will give it. After a few minutes, I turned and asked him where his bank was located, and did he just want me to take him there to get some money for his gas. Laughing slightly, he replied, "You didn't understand me. I am divorced and have been laid off from my land surveying job for over a year now. I was going to the blood bank where I've been told I can get $50 for my platelets." Oh, now I understood completely his situation and quickly thought to myself, his gas gauge isn't broke, but he is. And seeing how moments before I had helped heal his spiritual brokenness, I knew I could do something to help his financial brokenness too. Soon, we exited off the highway and onto Park Lane Road, where I pulled into the gas station. I got his 5-gallon gas can from the back of my truck and took it over to the pump, swiped my credit card, and began to fill it with fuel. After only a few dollars, he began to say, "That's enough, that's enough." I turned to him and replied, "It will be enough when it's full." The pump shut off and I rounded the amount to an even $12. As we got back in to leave, I could see he looked worried, maybe about how he was going to pay me back. I was prepared for that. As we passed by his truck, parked on the other side of the 4-lane highway, he said, "Just let me out here. You've done enough. I can walk back to my truck." I told him, "No, I've got to turn around anyways. It's not out of my way at all. Besides, I've taken you this far." He didn't have anything to say after that, but just sat there with a blank stare until we had turned around and made it back to his truck. Getting the gas can from the back of my truck for him, I asked if he needed any more help. He said that I had done enough. We exchanged names and a handshake, and as I went to walk off, he said, "Hey, I need your address so I can send you the money to repay you for the gas." I'm not sure where these words came from as I replied, "If I give you my address, then you will be worrying about when you're going to get the money to repay me, and I'll be worrying about when you are." Then he looked me straight in the eyes and said something that no one had ever said to me, "Man, you're an angel." Pulling away, I simply smiled and waved as I left him filling his truck's gas tank. Driving on to church in Blythewood, those words resonated in my mind and left me wondering why he would say such words to me. Maybe because it was Sunday morning and nobody else had stopped to help him. A man wearing an old t-shirt and cut-off blue jeans walking on the side of the highway with a gas can. But then I reminded myself I was only being obedient to the simple question I had asked earlier, "Lord, show me someone to help today." Sometimes I wonder whatever happened to that man, if he found a job or if he's now sharing Christ's love and forgiveness with his friends, maybe even telling them of the stranger who picked him up from the side of the highway one Sunday morning and who shared the good news of Christ with him. I will always remember this story as long as I live, inspiring me to always do more for others than I do for myself. And just like with the $20 I had given to Richard and his family, I would never miss the $12 spent buying a complete stranger fuel that Sunday morning either. And reliving that story in my mind made me almost miss the Blythewood Road exit from the interstate. But regardless, I was still my usual 5 minutes late to Wednesday night choir practice, a habit that I just couldn't seem to break.